The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Well, I would tend to agree with that. Oh, gee. Forefathers spinning in their graves. Boy, if that isn't the truth today. And George Clooney's come out with some excuse about, well, I get down on my knees to pray. Is he suggesting that our illustrious football players are praying? Good evening. Welcome to the National Intel Report. This is Jeff Bennett sitting in for John Statmutter this evening. John called me earlier today with a little minor injury and asked if I could take the program, which is only an extra hour because I'm scheduled for next hour anyway. Glad to have you here. I have, as I do most days, continue to watch some strange economic things continue to go on. We're going to concentrate on most of this for the next 2 hours rather than stretching it out between now and Thursday. Oh, I'm sure more stuff will come up then. Today is the 26th day of September. A few more days will be October. As the old song says, the days dwindle down to a precious few. That could have numerous connotations, could it not? Not just for the year, but the way things are unwinding and unraveling so rapidly. I have talked about Bitcoin a considerable amount the last month or so. I had a long conversation with a friend, an old client, Larry, who called me several weeks ago because most of my discussion about Bitcoin was in what I would refer to as negative terms. I still think it's a gamble, but it's a gamble under maybe the present set of circumstances, the mass speculation. Oh, it goes far beyond Bitcoin. There's numerous other cryptocurrencies that are popping up almost daily. But Bitcoin has been the unusual one. It was the first to go around, and it has made people some hellacious money in very, very short periods of time. But we're going to talk about some of that today and approach it from a number of different angles. Hugo Salinas Price, who is one of the more spot-on economic writers in the world. Hugo, of course, comes out of Mexico. But just because you come out of Mexico doesn't make you dumb, not by any stretch of the imagination, and he's a very brilliant man. Hugo asked the question, if I have funds in a bank, I know that I have a certain amount of fiat money available in that account upon which I can draw more or less freely. Now, according to the nature of the contract between myself and the bank, the value of my account depends upon the value of the fiat money which it represents. Well, we all know that the digits follow suit, but the digits have little meaning, my friends. But Hugo says bitcoins have no stated value. Now, understand, this is the first set we're going to do on Bitcoin today. we're going to intersperse it among other things. But I'm going to try to share with you what I might consider the good, the bad, and the ugly. It's to raise questions, hopefully to answer some as well. Bitcoins have no stated value. I cannot know the total value of my Bitcoins until the moment I have exchanged all of them for a quantity of fiat money. Now, at present, and this was dated a few days, this was dated about a week ago he wrote this, the owner of 1,000 Bitcoins thinks that he is the owner of about $4 million. But he or she is mistaken. He or she will only have $4+ million when they have sold them all for $4+ million. I cannot use Bitcoins to purchase anything directly from just anyone. In order to purchase something with my Bitcoins, I've got to find someone who will accept them in payment of what I wish to acquire, and for which that person is willing to accept Bitcoins in exchange. In such a theoretical operation, both the person who tenders Bitcoins in a purchase and the person who accepts same in the sale, both of them calculating their exchange in terms of fiat money, not in terms of Bitcoin. And thus, according to Hugo, the Bitcoin has no independent existence like fiat does. Its worth depends upon the existence of fiat money in which to transact exchanges. I guess we could say the same thing about gold and silver. We tend to look at gold and silver in terms of its fiat value, and that is, in effect, how it's going to be bartered or traded or exchanged, whatever terms you wish to use. But having said that, when I spoke with Larry several weeks ago, he had shared with me, and I don't recall if it was a friend or if it was his son. His son had gone into Walmart and asked the clerk, do you accept Bitcoin, a cryptocurrency? And the young man said, no, I don't think so. And so Larry's son was pretty much required, if I remember the story correctly, to whoop out his MasterCard and make his purchase. And when the purchase was done, he told the young clerk, you just accepted Bitcoin. You see, Bitcoin, as has previously been done on another alternative currency, what the heck were those things called, the carrot bars, the value of the Bitcoin, just as carrot bars were some years ago, and maybe still are, was on a credit card denominated in fiat monetary value. And so, to the buyer's mind, he was using Bitcoin in this case to make a purchase, where in fact he really was using fiat currency, dollars. Hugo continues, as long as there are more buyers of Bitcoin than sellers, the value of the Bitcoin will continue to rise, and that will bring in still more buyers, and its value may rise to the skies. But when that moment comes, as it must, he says, when there are more sellers than buyers, then the value of the Bitcoin will fall. When the holders of Bitcoin begin to see a trend of falling value, there'll be nothing and no one to stop the trend. Owners of Bitcoin will rush in panic to sell their holdings to other holders of Bitcoins before its value falls even further. And with more and more owners trying to sell, there will soon be no buyers. And no one will want to catch the falling knife. The value of Bitcoin will fall to practically zero. You know, when the famous tulip craze of the 1600s was over, the losers at least had their tulips to look at. I've seen a very similar thing happen in the precious metals markets, gold and silver in particular. Not so much this last go around, because economically we're seeing different trends than we did so many years ago. Back in the late 1970s, when we saw at that time gold ultimately reach an astounding value of $850 an ounce and silver hit $50 an ounce, when it began to go the other way, the fall is always much more rapid than the rise. Look what we've been going through for these past few years since the collapse of 2008, the economic collapse in this country, the collapse of the banks and the real estate market, etc. We watch gold and silver very slowly, very quietly reach some, perceptually to some, unreachable values. Gold briefly hit $1,900 an ounce. Silver could not surmount that $50 value that it had reached many years ago. But, of course, the difference is the $50 would not buy would have bought in 1980, but that's another story. When those markets turned and gold and silver began to come down back then from 850 and 50 down to, ultimately, gold reached $250 figure. It lost, 20%, something of that nature. I mean, it lost 80%. Silver did worse. As it will. Silver will gain more, but it'll also lose more in the downtrend. But we're not here so much to discuss the rise and fall of each or the massive tops. I think that recently I've read that Bitcoin has reached levels of some $5,000 per Bitcoin. Just like gold and silver has done in the past. The Bitcoin rise in value that took months or maybe years to take place will in fact be over in a matter of hours. The Bitcoin will become a history of mass speculation that came to grief for many. Charles Mackey said long ago that men, it's been well said, think in herds. It will be seen that they only recover their senses slowly and one by one. But in the special case of the Bitcoin, sooner or later, Bitcoins will recover their senses. But it won't be slowly. Tankety-tank. Tankety-tank. But that's not the end of our story. That's the introduction to it, and we'll come back to it a little later. Because I think there's some other directions we have to look at. I continue to read stories about economic recovery, how well it's doing. I looked at some charts this morning, and I was frankly appalled. At everything I looked at. Everything I looked at. I looked at new job starts over three, not new job, new business starts, small businesses, over three totally different four-year periods. And each four-year period became decreasingly worse, or depending on how you wish to use the terminology, increasingly worse than the previous four-year time period. This last 4 years, we have seen a new business startups down 75% over what it was back in the early 2000s. But we continue to hear how well everyone's doing, economic recovery, except there's one problem with it. More than 50 million Americans today live in what we will call economically distressed communities. That according to a new report by the Economics Innovation Group. Now, they are a so-called bipartisan research group backed by technology entrepreneurs. Many of those communities located primarily in the rural South and in old industrial centers in the North have seen no employment gains between 2011 and 2015. And at the same time, about 85 million people live in so-called prosperous communities, which have claimed the lion's share of job growth and income. The worry about some policy experts is that large sections of the country are being left behind economically. But it's not just sections of the country. It's not just a geographic issue. I sit back, I look at people that I know who have not recovered. My wife and I have discussed the fact that where we live in a, for this neighborhood, a moderate size, an average size home. This house is 2,381 square feet, has four bedrooms. It does have a swimming pool. Play pool, if you will, but you can swim in it. I do, although it's starting to get real cold. There's other homes in the neighborhood that are larger, There are some that are directly on the lake, the man-made lakes that, for all practical purposes, my friends, are part of the water treatment center for the community. The water cycles through and hits the algae and the fish eat it. And no, I've never seen little brown things popping up toward the top of the water, but I'm sure it could happen. And at the peak of the market, this house was pushing $400,000. Now, that was an insane amount. It was not worth that, okay? It just was not worth that kind of money. But it reached that. We didn't pay that. We paid $320,000, and it was still on its way up. And boy, when it turned hard. The real estate bubble imploded. We all were part of it. We all saw it. I don't think there was a part of the country that was not affected. Well, it's been 9 years, 8, 9 years. Many communities around us, many neighborhoods around us have rebounded beautifully, back up to their peaks, in some cases higher than their peaks. You go up to Litchfield Park, you go up to Goodyear, more desirable communities. The neighborhood we live in was built in the early 90s. Now, that's not that old of a neighborhood. But you keep in mind, unlike the Midwest, unlike the Northeast, unlike many, many regions of the country, I can look at 100-year-old homes in Tennessee that were built out of stone, built out of brick. No, these houses are chicken wire and paper mache. They stick up 2x4s. They slap some styrofoam over the outside of them, allegedly to seal them off from the outside elements. They insulate the interior walls strictly on the outer perimeter of the house, the exterior walls. And then once they get that styrofoam up and get it settled in right, they effectively staple chicken wire to it. And once that stuff is up, they spray what they call stucco on it. To me, it's nothing more than paper mache. You know, the problem in this neighborhood, it was old farmland, old agricultural land, and it was never compacted properly. And the city inspectors come through and they sign off on the plumbing and they sign off on the foundation, they sign off on the electrical, but they're not watching the work being done. Now, there's been no problem with the plumbing or the electrical other than the fact that the main plumbing pipes all go under the foundation. Unlike the homes they build today, it's all done not PVC. It's a hose-like material, like a garden hose. Stronger, but it's a garden type hose. It all runs through your house. It's all up through the walls, it's in through the attic, and it drops down, and theoretically it'll last a long, long time. Well, I live in a very hot area. I live in Arizona. This has been one very long, hot summer for us. Very uncomfortable. We've had humidity of the type that I've not experienced since the 1970s, before I left the Midwest and moved out here. And the problem is the builder, who's long since out of business, gee, I wonder why, did not compact the soil hard. And when you've got old agricultural land, you've got underwater fissures, you've got underwater natural wells that maybe have been tapped into, maybe they haven't been tapped into. And as those dry up, little by little, the ground above it begins to sag and cave, and whatever the case may be. Well, we got a break, and we come back. We're going to kind of expand out on this story a little bit. You'll understand why. Stay with us.
Extendivite, A 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
If you be my bodyguard, I can be your long-lost pal. I can call you Betty, Betty, when you call me, you can call me out. A man walks down the street, says, why am I short of attention? Got a short little span of attention, and all my nights are so long. Where's my wife and family? What if I die here? Who'll be my role model? Now that my role model is gone. He ducked back down the alley with some roly-poly little bat-faced girl.
What, you know, that song fits our time. It's better than anything I've heard in a long time. You can call me Betty and I can call you Al. Nobody seems to know what they are. Unreal. We up and connected, man? We must be. The music faded out. I got some strange sound things going on today. I apologize. Jeff Bennett here sitting in for John Stadmiller. National Intel Report. Well, today we're going to call it Protecting Your Wealth. This just came into me while we were at break. I think it's a perfect closeout to the last thing we were talking about, which is this economic recovery that's not reaching people. Janet Yellen is not as bright as she was make herself out to be. On the other hand, she's no Alan Greenspan. Something pretty astonishing has happened at the Federal Reserve. The Fed's FOMC meetings for July contain an incredible admission that almost most people missed. During that meeting, Fed officials implicitly admitted that the Fed had no clue about inflation. And that admission was swept under the rug. But as we take note, and we began to prepare accordingly. Even we did not think the Fed would start broadcasting this emission on a near weekly basis, but guess what? Last week, Yellen openly admitted the Fed does not fully understand inflation, and this morning stated that the Fed was wrong regarding employment and inflation. This is the Fed we're talking about, the group of individuals responsible for maintaining something called financial stability. No, that's not true. They were developed for manipulating financial stability. But now their leadership is openly admitting that A, they're wrong about the most important aspects of the economy, and B, they don't understand why this is. Already sticky inflation, or inflation for prices that are slow to change, is now above the Fed's 2% target. So it may not be huge, but it's happening. I discussed on my morning program today this business about the hurricanes, the tornadoes, the devastation that's taking place, not only in this country with Harvey and Irma and whatever these other ones are. I thought it was supposed to be a Hurricane Lee. I guess they must have just decided to get it away with that one because that sounds racist. Mexico's had several earthquakes. All of these things are affecting our fuel prices at the pump. And don't kid yourself, we don't import most of our oil from the Middle East. We export the majority of it from Canada and Mexico. If you've been led to believe otherwise, you're sadly mistaken. So, once again, the economic issue we were discussing a moment ago. So they build these homes in roughly 1992. So that makes this house what? 16 years old, something? No, it's older than that. We're at 17 plus 8. So we're 25 years old. 25 years old. And I've got cracks in the walls because the house settles and the stucco's cracking on the outside. I got to go patch it and paint it. And I got a couple of pretty interesting cracks going on the ceiling, which leads me to believe that I may have leaks that nobody seems to think I've got. And then they're expanding the trusses and opening some separation. But then I've got one side of the house that gets a lot of moisture due to condensation that comes down off the air conditioning unit. Now, the air conditioner's on the ground. It's actually called a heat pump. But the mover of the air that takes the condensation, spits it back out, comes down plastic PVC, drips down the side of the house, which for a good 7 months of the year, you're running your air conditioning. And you're leaking that condensation out with very poorly poured slabs to begin with. And hence your home begins to sink. We got another break coming. All right, we'll be back after this break, and then we're going to be running all the way. Stay with me.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations. A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Here we go. I was on mute. Sorry about that. Oh, my goodness. Jeff Bennett here. Was speaking about this debacle in our home. The problem is it's not just our home. And this home is 20-some-odd years of age. And it is very frustrating to watch this happen. This is where we live. I don't really care to move out. But you know what? It's not this. It's not the way these homes were built that is causing this neighborhood to begin going downhill. After Hurricane Katrina, they began to bring busloads of families in from New Orleans out here to the West Valley of Phoenix. And the caliber of people was not of the same caliber that were living here before. Hard-working people. Of all colors, all creeds, all religions, everybody got along just fine. Now I think that my little short street is like a NASCAR roadway. And the various different automobiles that race in and out of this neighborhood at breakneck speed. You got kids coming home from school, going to school, etc. Because everybody's in a hurry. We got a lot more renters than we used to have. Oh, you can tell a rental house. They don't generally keep up their homes. They don't water the grass. They don't keep the bushes watered and alive. They let it all die off because they don't want to up their water bill to take care of somebody else's grass. And yet, when you rent a place, you agree to care for the place as if it were your own, effectively. And so, because of it, this home, this neighborhood has not, with the exception of maybe the lake homes, has not recovered from the debacle of nearly 10 years ago. And that is frustrating. I can move out of here and go over to Glendale. I can go to other older communities, Peoria, Phoenix. I can buy some well-built homes that were built anywhere from the 1940s into the early 1960s that are standing the test of time far better than this neighborhood will. But when you build poor quality products, you can expect them not to last very long. And so economically, I would say that if I had to sell this house right now in the condition it's in, I'd be lucky to pull two and a quarter. Maybe I'd find somebody for $235, but I doubt it. I doubt it. If the house were in tip-top condition, I didn't have these cracks, didn't have these problems, finished painting the house, some new carpet, a few little things here and there, I could probably pull $265 out of it. Is it worth putting the money into it? Not anymore, it's not. You're spending money to get probably less money back out than you had to spend. You're talking $12,000 to redo a roof here. Oh, it's a tile roof. They got to pick up every single tile off the roof. They got to peel up all the old tar paper, hope there's no damaged sheeting underneath it, in which case they have to replace it. All new tar paper. Oh, it's about a 3-4 day project. And Jose and Gomez and their friends get paid cheap money by the roofing companies, and the roofing companies still charge you $11,000-$12,000. When will America finally wake up? The borrower is the servant of the lender. And today, my friends, just a matter of a couple of weeks ago, we now have a colossal $20 trillion debt chain around our collective ankles. We've willingly enslaved ourselves, our children, our grandchildren, and yet our addiction is so insatiable that we continue to add more than $100 million to our debt load every single hour of every single day. The national debt is sitting in the grand total of $20,162,176,797,904 right now. But now that the debt ceiling has been lifted, that number is expected to shoot up very rapidly toward $21 trillion by the end of the year. Keep in mind, it was only back in 1995, 96, all the hell that Bill Clinton went through because the Democrats wanted to assist him in raising the debt ceiling to $5 trillion. Now we're over four times that amount. Well, you see, the national debt has been held down by accounting tricks to keep it under the debt limit for quite a while. But every time it's happened, before we have seen the national debt absolutely explode back to projected levels once the debt ceiling was raised. And all of this at a time where people are claiming things are getting better all the time. For whom? Does anyone really care that our exploding national debt is destroying our future? Our time clock is floating in the ocean. It has yet to suck up enough water to sink. But it's going to happen. Very few of our leaders in Washington seem to care that we're in the process of committing national suicide. All they care about is their pensions and their superior upgraded health insurance plans that we're never going to see. There's no way that we're going to be able to continue to be the most powerful economy on the planet if we continue down this road. During Obama's 8 years in the White House, we added more than $9 trillion to the national debt. In 8 years, we doubled it. Of course, that improved things on the short term, because if we could go back and take $9 trillion out of the economy over the last 8 years, we'd be in an absolutely nightmarish economic depression right now. And maybe that's what needs to happen to get America back on track. Maybe we need a Great Depression again so people will begin to slow up and start to get along once again and begin to work together for the common good of the community or the neighborhood or the village or whatever you want to call it. But even with all of this borrowing and spending, our economy still has only grown at an average rate of just 1.33% a year over the past 10 years. But now we're facing inflation that now exceeds 2%. So we're sliding further and further into the abyss, are we not? Because, you see, by going into as much debt as we've gone into, we in fact have destroyed the future of our children and grandchildren. What we're doing to them is beyond criminal. People should be going to prison over this. But instead, we just keep rewarding these Congress critters by sending the same cast of characters back to Washington over and over and over again. Mitch McConnell should have been yanked out of office years ago, along with Pelosi and Barbara, what's her name? Not Barbara, it's Sheila Jackson Lee. McCainus. Crazy Maxine Waters. What an idiot. Are we insane? The feds are now projecting the official yearly budget deficit will reach $1.4 trillion by 2027. Of course, federal projections always end up being far more optimistic than reality, don't they? Figures lie and liars figure. I mean, we're already spending about $500 billion a year just on interest alone on the national debt. By 2027, that number is projected to jump to $760 billion a year. I don't know what the average dollar or the annual dollar amount is at the Internal Revenue Service. Well, I like that word service. They're servicing us all right. Just like a prostitute services you, right? What's the annual amount of revenue that they collect? Oh, is that what the $1.4 trillion is? In other words, they spend $500 billion. The deficit's $1.4. Oh, forget it. I can't even figure this out. It's too complex. It's all insanity. We just can't control ourselves. Yeah. You can't control yourself any more than the government does. You got a credit card. Oh, but honey, we need the new mattress. I'm going to get you some new pots and pans. Just keep on cooking, darling. I love your food. And a new car. And another new car. You're living beyond your means. Most of us are living beyond our means. We can't remember what it was like to be making good money when we were working. We can't remember what it was like to be building automobiles and putting up skyscrapers and building other factories and building malls, most of which are going defunct and drained and emptied out today. One of the two oldest malls in the Phoenix area was referred to as Metro Center. My father lived over in the neighborhood in his family, my brothers, my sisters. Metro Center was a gem in the desert, and things kept building around it, new neighborhoods, and Phoenix grew further north and further north. I remember one day they built a brand new hospital they built. Who in the hell is ever going to go to that hospital? It was the only thing up there. Then he built a shopping center, kitty corner from it. You know, the usual places. The restaurants, the Rue 21s, the Best Buys, the grocery, whatever they were putting over there. Stores that are now long since out of business. And now so many of those places sit vacant. Housing subdivisions around it, hotels around it, the whole nine yards. They built the hospital. Build a hospital and they will come. Insanity. I remember the piece of land that was considered the furthest northern point of Phoenix. Beyond that piece of land, they began to put a landfill in. And across the street from that landfill, and the landfill became more and more of a big mountain, a big growth up behind this little building. And across the street from the landfill, they wound up building a juvenile prison, which is doubled and tripled in size over the years. Barbed wire, the whole, you know, the whole thing. And just up the road, about 12, 15 minutes, out of nowhere, they built this massive subdivision called Anthem. Stores, grocery stores, schools, libraries, I mean everything. Modern homes to big homes, the whole nine yards. Man, I wouldn't live there. So I can do what? Look at the highway go by? If you get up and further back in the hills, it's not so bad, I guess. A little cleaner air out there because it's more open. It's insanity. Oh, and that little building that was once the furthest north point of Phoenix? It was a double-wide mobile home with flashing red lights out in front of it. You put two and two together for yourself. Oh, yes, it was a house of ill repute. Insane. Oh, and Anthem? A lot of the homes that were built up there had the same kind of problems that we're having in the neighborhood that I live in. Crack foundations, sinking foundations. I have a good friend who worked for Shea Homes for many years. He's retired now. Howard has become a painter. He does some nice work. Howard was a foreman for Shea Homes. They're a home builder, of course. And he taught me once how the inspectors come around from the cities or the counties, where depending on where your subdivision is being built. You think they go from home to home to check the electrical to make sure it's to code? Do they check the plumbing to make sure it's code? Do they make sure quality work is going in? Do they make sure that the soil has been compounded properly before they begin to put up the block edges and then, of course, the slab in between them? Are the blocks properly tied together? Is the soil and the backfill properly compounded to allow for the shifting, etc.? Well, they'll go and look at one home. And they'll somewhat carefully go through it. This looks right. This is good. You've done good work here. Blah, 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 blah. And they sign off on that house. The problem is when they're signing off on that house, they're signing off on nine others. They inspect one home for every 10 that they sign off on. My wife and I moved into this home in June of 2013. A couple of years later, they decided to tap a new well in the outside of this community. It's a part of it. And of course, once they begin to drill, they then take the water. They control the water. Other areas that may have held water begin to dry up because they're more quickly draining back into this particular area. What do you think began to happen? More and more homes within the community began to settle. Quality is job none. Years ago when I lived in the country, I had a young man from Ohio who worked for me, who came out to my rural property out in the country. My wife and I bought a home in 1980 that was a 70-year-old farmhouse that had not been particularly well cared for a number of years. But homes back in those days were built in a fashion of quality. I mean, the roofing material wasn't 4x8 sheeting. It was 1-inch thick 2x material. Big difference, isn't it? Homes were built up on a rock. The outer perimeter, the rock foundation per se. Underneath it, they would have, you know, poured concrete of sorts. And then they would put sections of cut oak underneath it to support the middle floor structure. If we had a lot of water, sometimes I had to go and it would sink. I'd have to go down and take a jack down there, pump up the floor just a little bit, put some shims in there to level things off. Oh, yeah, lots of interesting things would happen. The quality of the building back then was so far superior, it was unbelievable. Insanity. Oh, yeah. $500 billion. We're spending today $500 billion a year just on interest on the national debt. And that's expected to jump to $760 billion by 2027. That's not that far away. I suspect it's going to get worse. You want to continue to invite all sorts of refugees in and illegal invaders. You want to keep forking out everybody for free housing assistance and EBT cards. I hate the terminology EBT. It stands for Electronic Benefits Transfer. And whether I shared this with you or not, I don't know. 3 years ago, next month, my wife and I went on a cruise with a bunch of friends of ours. We all flew down to Houston separately. A bunch of us hooked up at the same hotel. We took a bus out to the cruise ship down in Galveston, about a half-hour ride. And we got on the ship, and of course, the welcome, everybody's getting on. They're all going up to the cafe area. Not cafe, it's a, what do you call it, open, where you just kind of go through, get the food you want, etc. And there's three or four black ladies up there. Not a one of them was svelte like Lena Horne or Whitney Houston. Every one of them looked like a beached whale. Fat, obese, slovenly pigs of human beings. And they're talking about, oh, yeah, I come from... And they weren't there traveling together. I guess they knew of each other. They'd all gone to school together back somewhere. And they were meeting up for this reunion cruise. And the one says, I paid for my cruise with my EBT card. Who accepted her EBT card for the cost of a cruise ticket? And she probably ate more on that you know, 7-day cruise than she eats off her EBT cards at home for a month. No, we can't control ourselves any longer. The government continues to throw around money as if there's no tomorrow. Our tax dollars are being wasted on some of the most ridiculous things imaginable. Do you know the government is spending $42 million? The U.S. military is spending $42 million every year on Viagra. Are you nuts? What the heck for? I mean, if we don't stop the insanity now, it's over. There was an editorial in the Houston Chronicle that said tax and spend politics are bad, but borrow and spend is worse. While we have some control over whether our lawmakers raise taxes, our children and grandchildren don't get a vote on whether we burden them with debt. And over the long run, huge government debt takes cash out of the economy, drives up the interest rates, which slows economic growth, and it hurts private enterprise. To protect the economy, Republicans need to nip plans to eliminate the debt ceiling in the bud and get to work balancing the budget. It isn't going to happen. No, they don't continue to get elected and reelected unless they can keep some of their promises to their constituents. Since the beginning of our nation, many of our most prominent statesmen have been warning about the dangers of accumulating government debt. During his farewell address, George Washington instructed the country to avoid the accumulation of debt not only by shunning occasions of expense, but by vigorous exertions to discharge said debt, no throwing upon posterity the burden which we ourselves ought to bear. Thomas Jefferson famously said that he wished he could have added one more amendment to the Constitution which would have banned government borrowing. It's one of the primary reasons we must abolish the Federal Reserve. It was designed to create a government debt spiral from which we could never possibly escape. And that is why the size of our national debt has gotten more than 5,000 times larger than 1913. We're never, ever going to permanently solve our national debt problem until we get rid of the Fed. Most Americans don't realize it. The path we are on is not sustainable by any definition. Debt levels are growing much faster than the GDP. That is a recipe for disaster. And the story goes on and on and on. My friend, as the clock is ticking, disaster awaits at the end of the road. Oh, water? Not that we brought it up, but it is an interesting issue in the state of Arizona. 1961, my family came to Arizona on a winter vacation. Spent some time with my mother's good friend down in Tucson and her husband. He was a real cowboy. And the discussion in 1961 was the problem of water. There's only so much water out here in the desert. They're pumping some of it down from the Colorado River and some other places that they're now capturing it. But is it enough to care for the massive expansion that this state has seen? And right now, the county I live in, Maricopa, Arizona, is the fastest growing county in the nation. Still doesn't mean they're driving buyers out my way. The houses don't stay on the market too long because they're a bargain. Now, they're a bargain until you get into them and find out what it's going to cost you to turn that house into what it needs to be. Watch out for home flippers. Most of them are quickie artists. They get in, they make it look nice, slap a coat of paint on the inside and the outside, and get the hell out of there as fast as they can. The average goal of a flipper is to flip a house and have it back on the market in 3 weeks. And so they continue to allow new subdivisions to be built. Companies moving into Phoenix, instead of buying out one of the existing buildings that's only 4, 5, 6 years old, they got to put their stamp on the marketplace. They got to go build their own brand new building. And that's leaving other buildings standing vacant. Oh, it's great for those who are building the new buildings, but what about the guy who's stuck with empty buildings that can't pay the mortgage payment on that huge conglomerate that he built? Or shopping center, or mall, or strip mall, or whatever. Hey, it's no different than the church. The church doesn't pass that collection plate for Jesus. They can't make their mortgage payment. And, well, we know what the end result is. We're going to go to a break. Stick around. We'll be back in just a few moments for the second hour of Protecting Your Wealth.
Take America back. This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.